With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be discussing the title race with Paul Carden at Warrington Town. We'll also have a bit of a fixture preview as well with Thomas Fina. We'll be discussing Witton Albion with Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, and we'll be discussing Workington with BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, and coming up over the course of the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, we're going to be looking back at all the results from the past 7 days in the EvoStick Northern Premier League. And later in the show, we've also got Thomas Feeney joining us, non-league journalist from the Wrong Side of the Pennines, to be discussing all the matches this weekend in the Premier Division. We're also going to be catching up with Paul Carden, everybody, at Warrington Town. Title chasing Warrington Town. More on that in a second. And we should also say, whoever wins out of Shaw Lane and Grantham Town, we'll try and get the management on this week's show as well. We've also got Andrew Simpson coming up to talk about Witton Albion's form. We've got John Walsh as well to discuss Workington. But before that, we're now joined by the return of a dear old friend, James Hayes is here. Hello, James. How are you?
I think I just about survived that one tonight, yesterday. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm all good. what did you... Oh, you're talking about the awards.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. shall we jump straight into it, then?
We can do if you want.
So for those lazy people who don't want to click on the previous episode of the NPL show, which had all the NPL show's supporters player of the year shortlist on it, well, here it is now. Well, hello, and yes, it's that time of the year again, dear listener, where we announce the shortlist for this season's EvoStick NPL show Supporters Player of the Season. And without further ado, the finalists are... Julio Arca, South Shields.
The Argentine is enjoying life at the Mariners, and his performances this season have certainly helped his club keep pace with one of the most contested Division 1 North promotion races in years.
Liam Hearn, Basford United.
A seasoned striker in the NPL, the 32-year-old is part of a Basford squad moments away from promotion. Lethal in front of goal, Hearn currently sees himself top of the Southern goal-scoring charts, racking up just under 50% of his side's goals this season.
Jordan Hume, Altrincham.
Hume is currently the Robins' top goalscorer for the 17-18 season. This hard-working attacker has played a key role in helping Altrincham stay up at the top of the Premier Division for the majority of the season.
Lee Shaw, Grantham Town.
Part of the Grantham team, which is chasing the playoffs, Shaw's goals have played a vital role in the Gingerbreads being a constant in the promotion race this season.
Nathan Valentine, Scarborough Athletic.
Nathan has fast become the midfield engine of Scarborough's promotion hunt this season. Capable of playing several roles in the team, it's his playmaking style which has won him the fans' nod at this year's awards.
And that, dear listener, is the shortlist for this season's EvoStick NPL Show Supporters Player of the Season. Voting for this year's winner is now open. Please visit evostickleague.co.uk and follow the appropriate links. It's one vote only. Anyone voting more than once will have all their votes disqualified. Voting closes at 23:59 or 11:59 PM on Easter Monday. A big congratulations to everyone who's been shortlisted and the best of luck. Happy voting. So there we go. Those are the nominations, and a big good luck to everyone nominated. A big congratulations as well. EvoStickLeague.co.uk, the place to go to register your vote. And James, I wasn't joking about the votes being disqualified if you vote more than once.
That's correct. That's I'm looking already, and there's already two or three somehow sneaking them in. So,
When will they learn? So, yeah, Easter Monday at midnight, that's when the deadline is. So, best of luck to everyone. But a fine array there. There was also, we might as well talk about this now because it doesn't really mention it on that audio clip there. But there were a load of people who could have been nominated quite easily.
Yeah, so there's about 25 players altogether that we had to pick, not just for the main five, But then obviously we have a highly commended list, which is also on the league website. So it really wasn't an easy pick. And I think a lot, especially with the media, let's be fair, it was could have gone anyway with any of the players. It says a lot about what the standard of the league has been this year altogether in general. So
yeah, it's been brilliant. And I am going to break the habit of a lifetime, James, and say you've done a good job, my friend. You've done a very good job. James, let's talk about the results from this past week. And as I said, we are going to be hearing from Paul Carden in a second at Warrington Town, because it's been absolutely crackers. And I feel like I'm talking to the wrong person, because you're the one who said, remember Charlie a few seasons ago of FC United, they had a big lead, and in the end it was really, really close, a lot closer than Gary Flitcroft would have liked. It's all happening up at the top. Altrincham got beat again on Saturday. Altrincham 1, Stalybridge Celtic 2. And then on Tuesday evening, Altrincham 1, Mickleover Sports 1. At the same time, James, Warrington Town were in action against Grantham Town on Saturday. They beat them by 2-1. And midweek, Warrington Town 4, Hensford Town 1. And I'm going to suggest that Altrincham can feel the breath of Warrington Town now on the back of the necks. It's just 1 point.
Yeah, it's getting very, very close at time. And just looking at the running to the clubs, neither of them have got it easy. So it's between them two now, I feel, because I think Shawley, subject to tonight's result against Grantham at the time of recording, which was mentioned. And not only that, Warrington have shown a sign of content with the final day signing as well, signing Jay McEvely on deadline day too. So it's going to get very, very close, and that was great results there for Warrington.
Well, let's hear now more from Warrington Town. On Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager, Paul Carden, and well, let's hear what he had to say. So, welcome back to the show, Paul. And well, it's been quite a month, hasn't it? How's things at Cantilever Park?
Yeah, we've been going along, mate. We've been going along well. Just you know, doing what we do, and just trying to get as many points as we can. You know, and you know, we've managed to do that.
It's been a fantastic March. I mean, some of the teams you've been beating, obviously, you beat Hensford Town on Tuesday night 4-1, cracking result there. Saturday against Grantham, a 2-1. You've beaten Barwell in the month as well. It's all falling into place quite nicely. I mean, could you anticipate this run that you've been on at the turn of the year?
Without sounding full of ourselves, you know, I've never doubted us to beat anybody in the league. We've proved we can beat teams from higher up and not just on one occasion. So the form that we're showing of late isn't a surprise to me. You know, I'm just glad it's happening now, and hopefully we can continue with it.
What's happened at the same time is Altrincham have slipped up slightly, and the gap is now down to 1 point. At this stage of the season, with only a month or so to go, how are you keep making sure the squad keeps the determination up?
I think the squad are doing it themselves. I trust the players, and there's times where we've got to manage things because the game load is massive at the minute. You know, it's Saturday, Tuesday every week. You know, so I trust the lads are managing themselves right, and it's reflected in the performance. You know, there's a determination in the squad. You know, and it has been for some time now. And the closer we've got towards Altrincham and the way we've shifted away the points total has shown that. But all we can do is keep concentrating on what we're doing, see how many points we get between now and the end of the season, and see if it's enough to pick them. You know, let's not forget, they've been top of the league for 6 or 7 months. They're not a bad team. They're having a run of results, which they've not had this season. Know where most of the teams have already had them. I'm not going to lie to you and say I hope it ends, because I certainly don't. But I know that they're a good team, and they will find their feet again. And so we've just got to make sure we keep on our form and make sure that we're picking up the points.
And every time I've spoken to you, Paul, on this show this season, it's been a running theme, and I'm going to ask you the same question I ask you every single time. How is the squad with injuries and that kind of thing? Has it been getting gradually better just in time for this run?
I'd love to say it has, but it hasn't. Because Jay McCartan, who's been captain, has been out for 6 or 7 weeks since we played Altrincham. We found out yesterday he had to see a foot and ankle specialist. He's had an X-ray, and he's out for the season now. So that's a big blow to us. And Dylan Vassello, who's been out for the same amount of time, he's been about 5 weeks out. He's had a scan this afternoon, waiting on results on the groin problem. So obviously with that being out and Sean Bealey's missed the last three or four games, just with a niggle and groin, we're obviously looking to bring some additions in and hopefully have that done in the next 15 minutes.
Next 15 minutes, okay.
Hopefully, we've signed a player from Accrington. Well, I know that's done. Called Mickey McLeod. He's an attacking player, a lot of pace, and one obviously we've needed to bring a centre half in. I've managed to get Jay McEverley from Tranmere, who's not been featured, and so you know he's not going to be available for a couple of games, but. We've agreed to sign him on loan for the rest of the season.
Going into this weekend then, Stalybridge Celtic, they suddenly had an upturn in form as well. So this is going to be a very tough game. And then you've got Workington on Tuesday. So the games are coming thick and fast now.
Yeah, they are, and they have been for the last few weeks. Stalybridge have had a great run lately. You know, and obviously I know Barry really well, and I know how he'll want to see him play, and he'll want to be able to say to them, go and do the double against them, because they beat us a good few weeks ago at home 1-0, which was a disappointing result, and it's one we've got to overturn, if you like, playing them on Saturday. Workington again, when we played against them early on in the season, which it was very early on, I tipped them to be up there because they had a lot of quality. They were a strong team, a physical team, but they knew how to handle the ball. So two tough games coming up. But like I always say, there's never an easy game. Never an easy game. For whatever reason, teams are wanting to beat you. They're wanting to get the points. And you know, at the end of the day, they've got to sort of earn themselves either at a place in their own club for next season or somewhere else. So, you know, there's never an easy game at any stage of the season at this level. So, you know, we're expecting tough games from now till the end of the season.
So, Paul Carden there, and off air, I said to Paul after that interview, you've got this zen-like calm about you, Paul, if you don't mind me saying, because he's very, very calm. And he needs to be, doesn't he? Because it is getting very, very exciting up at the top. And it has been a cracking run that Warrington Town have been on. And we have got a title race on our hands going into April, it feels like. So as pundits and as journalists, that's something to be pleased about, I'd imagine, James.
Yeah, obviously, I think the main fact is it's not the team everyone was expecting. Everyone thought Warrington would be up there. But we all thought it'd be three or four other teams as well.
Remember that question at the NPL show a few weeks ago? Said Paul Carden's been here before. He's got all the experience. We did say that.
Even with the experience, I think everyone was still expecting Shaw Lane to have a little bit of a say still. But again, it all depends on what happens tonight against Grantham. It's a moment in time that can show if Shaw Lane are still in the race.
Yeah, so Shaw Lane and Grantham Town are playing as we're recording this interview on this part of the show on Thursday evening. Buxton are also playing Ashton, as we should say, at the same time. Let's talk about Shaw Lane's results and throw in Witton Albion. We are going to be hearing from the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own footballing expert, Andrew Simpson, shortly, because Witton Albion, blimey Charlie, Witton Albion 4, Shaw Lane 0. And then on midweek Tuesday, Witton Albion 1, Stourbridge 0. A bit like Warrington, Cal McCauley's side here are stringing the results together and are really, really putting themselves in this playoff picture all of a sudden.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been a sign of intent there for Witton Albion. That was a fantastic result then against Shaw Lane. And again, it's really, really secured him into the playoff race where, again, a couple of weeks, I think on the last show, people were saying Witton might be dark horses for the playoffs. But they've done it against the top sides now. And now, again, it's down to them. Can they just keep the pressure on the chasing back?
Let's hear now from Andrew Simpson. At this stage of the show, we're going to be interviewing Andrew Simpson on Friday, so we're going to know the result. This is going to get awfully confusing. But please, if you're listening to this, just watch Back to the Future after this show, and it'll all explain time travel and that kind of thing. So we will know the results of that Shaw Lane Grantham match on Thursday. So let's hear now from Andrew Simpson, where we will exclusively reveal what the score was between Shaw Lane and Grantham. So, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, welcome to the future. We recorded most of this show on Thursday. This is the only bit that's going to be recorded on a Friday. We all know now the score from Thursday night. Shaw Lane 0, Grantham Town 2, Buxton 1, Ashton United 0. What does that mean for Witton Albion, do you feel?
I think it's another good night. They seem to be kind of getting the help they need from results elsewhere in the league, which in the position that they're in, they still do probably need a little bit of help at the moment. Although increasingly now they are arriving at a situation where their destiny is in their own hands. Most of the teams that had games in hand on them are not far off caught up now. And it's given us a little bit more clarity in the table. And I'm sure we'll come on to it in a minute. I mean, it makes this weekend's game that Witten have got even more important. They could go into Sunday now in the top five. That's the incentive for them this weekend. So, Grantham finally got back to winning ways, didn't they? And then we just said off air, they really needed that. But I think Witten are in touch irrespective of that result. So, and then Ashton losing to Buxton is a good result for Witten as well.
Absolutely. I mean, what this all does now, just for clarity of the listener who's you know, it's like they've appeared in a Doctor Who episode with all the time travelling we're doing. 1 point now, Witten Albion from the playoffs, and 4 points behind Ashton United, having played the same number of games. Shaw Lane are outside the playoffs now by 1 point. They've got 2 games in hand over Grantham and 3 games in hand over Witten and Ashton United. So it is awfully tight, but the old adage, would you rather have points on the board or games in hand? I think Shaw Lane, you've got Shaw Lane on one hand, and then you've got Farsley Celtic and Witten on the other. It's kind of like, you know, I think we're starting to get a clear answer on that now.
Yeah, I think it's form, isn't it? I mean, you would have a little bit of concern at the moment for Shaw Lane. You know, what they took an almighty hammering against Witten last weekend, but then you know there was mitigation. They'd not played in 3 weeks. That's going to be tough for anybody. Obviously, they ran into a Witten team in great form. So you kind of look at that result in isolation and go, okay, you know, these things can happen. Albeit it was a terrible result for them. They've since gone on to lose 2 more games without scoring a goal, and suddenly you start to think, okay, you know, do we need to be a little bit more concerned there? 3 defeats in a row now. Grantham had a similar wobble, didn't they? 4 games without a win. They got back to winning ways with that win against Shaw Lane. They had a very similar mitigation. They went weeks without a game, came back a little bit cold, really, and maybe this will be the result that kind of kickstarts their season again. So I think it's 4 more than points on the board, and obviously that's Witten and Farsley are both in great form at the moment. I mean, I think at Witten, they're kicking themselves a little bit that the postponements fell on successive weekends when they were due to play Farsley. It was all geared up to be 2 monumental games in the season for both of those teams, and they were denied an opportunity to take points off each other. There is some frustration at Witten about that, but it is just one of those things, and they've carried on winning anyway, so it's not affected them in that respect. So yeah, you just want to carry on the form that you've got. Hope you've not peaked too soon. I suppose that would be something to point out, but certainly at the moment, Witten and Warrington, of course, at the top, and Farsley, 3 of the 4 teams in the league.
I mean, we did hear from Paul Carden earlier, and obviously you do rub shoulders with Warrington as well. And, yeah. You know, we've got a title race on our hands, and this playoff race is certainly very intriguing. And, you know, the Ashton United Witten Albion match this weekend, blimey, that's, we touched upon it earlier, that's a big game now all of a sudden.
I think it's. I know journalists are prone to hyperbole, but I think this is Witten's biggest game of the season. For the fact that the incentive, if they can pick up 3 points at Ashton, and that is not going to be easy. It's going to be one of their most difficult games of the season. Is that they probably will go into Sunday in the top 5 in the table and really in the mix, and that will be a tremendous, tremendous achievement going into Easter. I mean, we have been teasing each other on the sports desk at Warrington because Warrington are playing Witten on Easter Monday, which, you know, in both teams' season is set up to be again a massive game, but there's quite a lot of points for Witten to play for before then. They've got Hales Owen at home on Tuesday and Hensford at home next Saturday. 2 games really they need to win, I think. I don't think they have to beat Ashton this weekend, but obviously they've got this real momentum going into the game. 4 wins in a row. Their away form is really good as well, so they're feeling confident. To be fair though, Ashton played really well up here earlier in the season. Well, earlier this year in January, they played for more than an hour with 10 men and more than deserved to get a draw He finished 1-1 that day, and I was really impressed with Ashton. So Witten are under absolutely no illusions about how difficult this game is going to be, but they go into it in great form. I mean, if the season had started on January the 1st, they'd be title contenders. That's how well they've done. No one's picked up more points than they have since the turn of the year. So, you know, it's all sort of for a grand finish of the season. This is, it mirrors a lot what happened last season when they were in Division 1 South. They had a tremendous march, which set them up. I mean, ultimately, they just fell off, just fell behind Shore Lane in the race for the title. But my point being, they finished the season really, really strongly in March and April, picked up an absolute load of points to close the gap that they had to Shore Lane, because they had games called off and a run in the FA Trophy. And it feels very similar. They seem to be getting on a roll at exactly the same time. So, I think it's one of the games of the weekend in the Premier Division, isn't it?
And obviously, we've got the monthly show next week, so I'm not going to ask you for your overall thoughts on the playoff race and the title race and that kind of thing. We'll hear all that next week. Just before you go, you've got a busy weekend, haven't you, Simo? Because, you know, you'd think you'd be going to Hurst Cross, but there's actually possibly a slightly even bigger game involving mid Cheshire sides. You've got a remarkable job. Firstly, tell people where you're off to, and then tell people how people could keep abreast of the mad old world that is mid Cheshire.
Yeah, I mean, because I am a little bit of a one-man band over this way, occasionally you get these kind of Super Saturdays where I could do a staggered kickoffs, really. I should have had a word in somebody's ear, because Witten, yes, are at Ashton United under normal circumstances, inverted commas. It's an absolute no-brainer that I'd be covering that game this weekend. But it's been, I wouldn't say it's been usurped, but certainly there's another huge game locally in 1874 Northwich, who play in the Northwest Counties League, are taking on Thatcham Town in the FA VAR semi-final second leg, and that stake is a place at Wembley in the final. 1874 Northwich going into that game 1-0 down, so they've got a little bit of work to do. But yeah, one of the biggest sporting occasions so far this season in the town. We're hoping for more. Hopefully Witten can make the playoffs and we'll have more to enjoy. But yeah, I'll be coincidentally at Winston Park anyway, because that's where the game's being held. Follow everything that's going to happen this weekend. All the preview stuff will be going up on Friday and Saturday morning at northwichguardian.co.uk, and I'll do my best to cover both games simultaneously, but obviously the focus during the 90 minutes will be on what happens in the FA Vars game, but plenty more big games for Witten to be involved in, so I'm really looking forward to the running. They've got themselves in a great position.
And a big, big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's show. And as we were discussing there, there were two matches on Thursday evening. Buxton 1, Ashton United 0 was a final score, as was Shore Lane 0, Grantham Town 2. And on Friday, I caught up with a manager at Grantham Town. It's Adam Stevens. So, Adam, thank you for joining us. We should say it's quite a remarkable interview that I'm doing here. I've never done anything like this before. You were at the match last night. Yep. You've just had a hip operation. You're speaking to us now, and I'm assuming you're going to be fine for tomorrow's match as well.
No, I think that's pushing a bit too much. Yeah.
How should I ask you about the hip operation? Did it go okay, firstly?
Yeah, obviously it needed done. Been struggling with it for a while, so it's, we'll come through and feel all right until the pain kicks in, probably a bit later, so I'll be all right at the minute.
Okay. The second most important thing then is the football, and a result that was against Shore Lane. You must be dead chuffed with that one.
Yeah, really pleased. I thought we were dominant, really, all the way through, and we got that goal, and it kicked us into life, played some really, really good stuff. So, and we needed it as well, you know.
What was your mood going into that game? Because it's getting to that stage of the season now where it does feel like every point and every result is really, really important, especially against a team like Shore Lane.
Yeah. I mean, you know, teams around you. And I think it was a key because, you know, as you know, we'd played two games in 6 weeks, and it was trying to get that some sort of a momentum and a win back, because last few games we've been okay in bits, and then but we're not at the level that we'd set, you know, that sharpness, that intensity to a play. But I thought last night we had that. I think it's good to play a few games in that short space of time again.
Absolutely. And tomorrow then you've got another game against another contender for the playoff positions in Barwell. This one's a very, very important game, to say the least.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Barwell's been on a great, great run of form. Got some good players down there. And, you know, Jimmy's got a good squad together. They work really, really hard. and it'll be a tough game for us.
And I won't keep you for much longer than obviously, Adam, because you know you are in a hospital at the moment. But there's been two award shortlistings coming out the last 48 hours or so. One involving your star striker, one involving yourself. You must be pleased with those accolades.
Yeah. It's always nice to be mentioned. You know, if you get mentioned, it shows you're doing something right, doesn't it? You know. But pleased for that. And Shorey again is top draw lad. The work that he puts in, you know, he deserves that.
So when are you back in action then? When are you going to be back on the touchline? And any words of encouragement? You might as well do your team talk now, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I should be out on Monday at hospital being well. And if you can remember Alf Garnett from years ago on his crutches.
Good luck on training then this week, Grantham Town players. Thank you, Adam Stevens, manager at Grantham Town. Best of luck with your recovery. And a big thank you for coming on the show. And congratulations again. We should say in a second we are going to be hearing from John Walsh at BBC Radio Cumbria talking about another team who might have left it a bit late but still a part of the playoff race. We'll come to Workington in a second. But just to cover off some of the other scorelines from the weekend, Matlock Town 1, Farsley Celtic 2. Farsley Celtic answering the old adage, would you rather have points on the board or games in hand? They'd rather have points on the board at this stage, wouldn't they, James?
Yeah, I think for them now, it's just maintaining the win rate that they've got at this moment. Obviously, the games that they've played, the points on the board are the more important for them at this moment in time, especially with just like with Shawley now having to play 3 games a week too. As obviously, people are saying it could cost them. I don't think it's going to now, because again, looking at Farsley's next couple of games, they're all against teams who, again, might be thinking ready for next season. Well, saying they've got to play Witton Albion twice towards the end of the season yet, and it's going to be vital for them to win them 2 games to make sure they stay in the playoffs.
We're not really mentioning Ashton United because of that Thursday night game, but they did get a win against Stourbridge by 3-2. They are a bit above the playoff race at the moment, but they don't want to slip out of it. So they you know, where they are at the minute, I'm basically saying they need to finish third and keep winning to do so. Just to cover off the other teams, let's talk about Workington. Workington 1, Buxton 2 was Saturday's result, but then Workington on Tuesday beat Shaw Lane by 2-0. They're currently, at time of recording this is, they're currently 5 points from the playoffs. Have they left it too late? There's only one person who can answer that question, and that's BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh. And on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with John to ask him that question. So a big thank you for joining us, John. The first and obvious question is, have Workington left it too late, do you feel, or is there a chance now of getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, we've done it for the last 3 years, and we've always come with a late rattle, if you like. Personally, I think it's against us this time. I think we've too many matches left, and we've got a very small squad this year. I mean, the number of times we've in recent weeks we've gone into a game with fair starting lineup, 11 decent players to start with. And this isn't been respectful to the lads on the bench, but there've been kids in the main, untried kids as well, and we've had injuries. And Nathan Waterston went to Barrow, of course, that left us to go to Barrow. James Earl quit and dropped down to play with Carlisle City. And all right, we've just recently got Stephen Rigg in, which will be a very, very good recruit for us. He's come on dual reg from Chorley, but I'm told that he will finish the season with us. And he's already made an impact. We've been pretty poor in 2018. We waited until, I think it was the 13th of March, to record our first win of the year.
Yes.
In the league, and that was at Altrincham. And believe me, they were brilliant. That was our best performance of the season, comfortably. And it was up there with I think is one of Working's best performances in recent times, was that 4-3 playoff win at Blyth a couple of years ago. This was up there with that, and it was tremendous. And then that was on the Tuesday. And on the Saturday, we'd only 11 players to start with. The joint manager, Lee Andrews, was on the bench. He wouldn't have come on because of he hasn't played for 18 months. Phil McCluckey, a regular, playing really well, was on the bench, but he wasn't going to come on because he's got to have a hernia operation. And so it went on, and that's been the problem. So to answer your question, it's taken a long time to get there. But this year I think it's against us. I really do fear that we won't make it. That's not the official line. Lee Andrews, and whenever he comes up to speak to me after the games, said, you know, we focus still on getting there. And on Tuesday night, of course, we followed up that dreadful defeat against Buxton on Saturday with a 2-0 win over Shore Lane, which shows we're capable on our day of beating the very best in the league, yet we're also capable of not being too good against some of the lesser lights, and that's been our downfall. We haven't been consistent in the new year. And I think that could be related to the fact that, you know, we had such a good run in the FA Trophy.
I was about to ask you, yes.
we'd gone 17 games unbeaten, and that was including our run in the FA Trophy, which took us to the brinks of the quarterfinal. I mean, we drew 1-1 at Bromley, at home to Bromley, and could have sneaked that, which would have taken us into the quarterfinals. And I think that has impacted on our end of season performances. More injuries. And as I said, a small squad to start with. Nobody's given up. Nobody's saying we're not going to make it. But with some tough games, we're going to be playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday 1 week. And then over Easter, it's Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. You know, so it's very difficult under those circumstances.
I mean, I was going to ask you about the FA Trophy because I've not spoke to Lee since before that match, and obviously since then it's kind of, I think everyone could see it did affect, and we have mentioned on the show by making them go down that far on a midweek, there were players missing from that squad. How much of an impact do you think that away replay had on Workington?
Yeah, that is a fair comment. I mean, that was we drew 1-1 on the Saturday. On the Tuesday, we left Workington at 2 o'clock, and five players who would have been in the starting lineup couldn't travel because of work commitments. I think four couldn't go, and one was injured from the Saturday. So with five players going down there for a midweek replay against who turned out to be on that particular night a very, very good National League side. So yeah, that certainly had an impact. 2 minutes before half time, it's 1-1, and the lad who was Louis, somebody who was outstanding, one of the best non-league players I'd seen on that night. I'm sorry if I got his second name. He got this goal, which was a complete fluke, just before half time. So they went in with 2-1. Second half, we had lost our centre half midway through the first half. Our experienced midfielder went off 5 minutes into the second half. You know, so, and we're just youngsters to come on, basically. And we were hammered on a pitch we're not used to, the artificial, and we were hammered 7-1 by a very, very good side, and things really haven't turned out so well since then. But you tend to think, well, you want these runs in these competitions, you know, so you go with the flow, you're enjoying it, we're making progress in the competition. But when you sit down and analyse it, it probably did have an effect on what has followed in the league programme.
Well, the league programme continues this weekend, and obviously Mickleover Sports away. I mean, we spoke to the chairman before, and the travel aspect of Workington, a lot of people forget this. And, you know, it's Saturday, Mickleover Sports away. Tuesday, Warrington Town away.
Yeah.
Warrington Town's quite local in comparison to Mickleover Sports.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Hey, but wait, we go to Stourbridge on a Monday night later on.
Oh, yeah, you know, yes. I mean, it is harsh. It is hard. And like you say, it's a young squad. But if it doesn't happen this year, I mean, there's the League Cup as well, Workington hosting South Shields at the end of March in the quarterfinal stage now. So there
is a chance
of silverware.
That's a Thursday night game. Exactly. That's a Thursday.
But there is,
that's a Thursday night. Next Thursday. So we're playing. You've got as far as Mickleover, Warrington, Tuesday. home to South Shields Thursday, and then we're off to Colville on the Saturday.
To Colville. Exactly. And this is where the young nature of the squad, this is where it really does have an impact.
Yes, very, very, very much. Yeah, you know, it's hard. Now, you know, we talk reorganisation next year, and I think John Mackay, the chairman, has told me that the travelling won't be as much, which doesn't sound a lot really, but to a club like Workington and other clubs, you know, at our level, it does mean quite a bit, and no overnight stops, you know, which does help as well.
Just to say, you do a cracking job, John, of covering Workington on BBC Radio Cumbria. Mickle over sports this Saturday. I'm assuming there'll be updates on BBC Cumbria.
Yes, indeed. We won't be the commentary, but we'll be there for, you know, every time there's a goal, they'll be coming over, or if not, they'll be every 10 minutes inserted into the Barrow game. I don't know where Barrow are this week, but our updates will be put into their match, which will be live.
So BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh there. Workington, currently, at time of recording on Thursday, 5 points from the playoff positions. So they probably have they left it too late? John seems to think they might have.
I need to echo John there a little bit. I mean, a great result there against Shaw Lane, but some of the other results recently, I think that's cost them a race in the hunt for the playoffs. If you have any sort of chance, they have to beat Farsley, but it could be over well and truly before then if results go elsewhere.
Just some other results from this past week as well, which we just need to talk about. We'll talk about the relegation zone in a second. Stafford Rangers 4, Colville Town 1. Fine performance there by Neil Kitching's side in front of a crowd of just over 300 on Saturday afternoon. We've also got on Tuesday evening, we had Nantwich Town 2, Stalybridge Celtic 3. Matty Wolfenden getting two of the goals there for Stalybridge Celtic, following up that 2-1 win against Altrincham. I think Stalybridge Celtic are out of the relegation picture, I'm going to suggest now, officially stamped.
This is the team Stalybridge should have had at the start of the season, and it's a weird one within this year. It should be, if they had this form at the start of the season, Stalybridge should be pushing for the title now.
Now, let's talk about the relegation picture then. We'll come to Marine in a second, because something remarkable happened on Saturday, and we do need to mention it. The relegation picture is ever-changing. Sutton Coldfield 2, Micklover Sports 1. Sutton Coldfield got a win, and at that point you'd be thinking to yourself, they're going to go on equal points with Hales Owen. But then at the same time, Hales Owen beat Nantwich Town by 3-1. A cracking set of results there for the teams, the two teams down the bottom end of the table. Also, when you combined, Hensford Town 3, Marine 2. Now, obviously, football is secondary at this point, because we need to talk about the coach fire. It's not surprising, really, that Marine didn't pick up 3 points there at Hensford. Not the best of results, but it's not what you want to see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's always great to see that everyone was safe and there was no casualties, because, again, that's one of them things in football. You don't expect stuff like this to happen.
Obviously, it's a defeat, but just thankful the team go again this weekend. But the relegation picture, it's just going to keep moving. There's no real point commenting on it at the moment, I don't think, James, because Sutton Coldfield, Hales Owen and Marine are all trying to pull out the stops to get themselves out of it. And I guess it's just best just to leave them to it at the moment and not jinx any of them too much.
I think it's now between the bottom two. I think Marine, you've got to look at him being pretty much safe now with the last couple of results for him there. So I'm obviously not including Saturday, but they have been picking up the odd one or two there where Hales Owen and Sutton Coldfield were dropping in the middle of their form. But obviously the key game for Sutton Coldfield is going to be this coming Saturday when they travel to Marine.
We are going to be hearing from Thomas Feeney very shortly, because there's some very, very intriguing matches this weekend in the Premier Division. But just before you go, James, just to talk about some of the stuff going on at step four of non-league when it comes to Division 1 North, firstly. Just when you think you've got your head round the title race, it all goes out the window. Scarborough Athletic 0, Colwyn Bay 2, a result from the weekend. Hyde United beating Bamber Bridge by 2-1, while Glossop North End got beat by South Shields by 3-1. So you think to yourself, well, Scarborough there, 3 points dropped, while Hyde United and South Shield get victories. And then midweek, well, it all goes out the window, because Bamber Bridge bounced back, beating South Shields by 3-2. So it's
it's ever changing, the title race. Again, it's like the relegation picture in the Premier Division and the title race in the Premier Division. There's not much point commenting on it at the moment because it is just up and down like a yo-yo, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's even harder because, again, the other leagues have started picking up in the third place race as well.
Oh,
so
no.
Again, Scarborough's what was looking at one point being a pretty much guaranteed promotion. The last couple of weeks, is now flipped on its head. So I think Scarborough in that weird position, they're not going to know what they're going to need. The only thing they can do is keep on winning and try and force it on one of the other clubs.
And just to cover off Division 1 South while we're here, Basford United, 3-0 winners over Romulus. James, how many points do they need now to secure promotion?
It's a win on Saturday.
Wow. Well, there we go then. Best of luck to Basford United. Liam Hearn getting a goal there on Saturday for that 3-0 victory. Bedworth United got a 2-0 win against Chasetown on Saturday. Frickley Athletic beat Lincoln United by 5-3. Alverchurch dropped 2 points and drew 1-1 with Newcastle Town, while Stamford got a valuable 1-0 victory over Leek Town on Saturday. So Stamford are still involved in this, ever so slightly. They're 4 points behind Alverchurch. Stamford have played 4 games more. Bedworth United 2 points behind Alverchurch. They played 4 games more. And Frickle Athletic are 3 points behind Alverchurch with having played 3 games more. So it's still all in Alverchurch's hands. But there's some teams there picking up victories at the right time of the season. And when it comes to the playoffs, it's still all down to Leek Town and Chasetown. James, just before you go, any bits of housekeeping?
The only one is, again, just keep on voting.
No.
If you've not voted already.
Vote once. Don't keep voting. Just once.
Well, yeah, don't keep voting, of course. Obviously, vote once, but if you've not voted, get your vote in. I think a great shout-out to all groundsmen from last weekend as well with the BCD East 2, eventually only 4 games getting postponed altogether in the mad 24 hours. So, again, congratulations to every groundsman. I think it's in order there, really.
And also, we should congratulate all the coach drivers as well, because I came back from Lincolnshire on Saturday, and that was not a nice trip back over the M62. So if you had to make that journey, going one way or the other, a big well done to all the coach drivers, because that was pretty hairy stuff at the weekend. But James Hayes,
I'll wait till next week to mention what happened on that coach trip as well, with phone calls to me and Birkin.
Oh no!
Yeah,
we might as well mention it now. at the time, me and Swampy. Well, we thought it was the end, basically. It was hairy stuff. And we thought what we should do is spend our last moments with our loved ones. So Swampy decided to do a video conference with some journalists from the world of non-league. And it was quite exciting, wasn't it, James, for a moment or two? We had about 20 people online. Yeah. It was good. Good fun. Anyway, but if not, very confusing to understand what was going on. So there we go. Anyway, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, no, it's better. See you next week for the show, mate.
So it's now time for a good old-fashioned fixture preview. And joining us now, it's the non-league sports reporter from the other side of the Pennines. We're now joined by the welcome return of Thomas Fina. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. I'm dead excited because we've got some stuff happening in the league. We had a playoff race in the Premier Division and we had a relegation battle. But all of a sudden, we've now got a title race on our hands. What have you made of the last few weeks?
Well, obviously, it has just been... It really was one of them where all the pressure was... Well, kind of, it wasn't pressure, but all the expectation was an Altrincham. And I think a few weeks ago, we all thought that Altrincham would just keep on getting the wins, picking the results up. And obviously, that hasn't been the case, although they have been coming behind and getting some results. You know, Warrington's form has really dragged this into being. To me, I'd say it is now a two-horse race. I know Shore Lane have got quite a few games in hand, but they drop points here or there. So to me, two-horse race, but look, plenty to play for across the league now.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start with the title race, because it is a title race now. 1 point separating the two sides. Altrincham do have a far superior goal difference, we should say. Hillsborough in town hosting Altrincham. Hillsborough got a fabulous win at the weekend. Stalybridge Celtic are hosting in Warrington. Stalybridge Celtic have hit a bit of form as well. So both these games... Very, very difficult for the two teams up at the top.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. When you get to this stage of the season, the teams round the bottom, you know, all of a sudden, it always seems to happen. They always seem to find that bit of form. And for Stalybridge, I mean, for Stalybridge, again, you know, I think I've said this every time I've been on, but I can't believe they are where they are with the squad they've got, the manager they've got, but they've found form, you know. It's three wins in a row. It's three away wins in a row for them, and that's the first time they've done that since midway through the 2014-15 season. So they are starting to pick up that bit of momentum away from home, but at home as well, they've got the, I suppose, the mentality of they beat Warrington recently. So, you know, Warrington on this fantastic run, the one team they've slipped up on is Stalybridge Celtic, so that's going to be a fantastic game to watch.
Absolutely, and we should say Stalybridge Celtic have now shot up the table to 19th, and with the games in hand they've got, there's a good chance that they could climb into mid-table, which I think, given where Stalybridge were just a couple of weeks ago, I think they'd take that right now, Steve Burside, very much so. Hales Owen Town, as we said, they're the ones hosting Altrincham this weekend. They got an important win on Saturday. That's because Sutton Coldfield got a win as well. So the pair of them are two in and throwing, as it were, but Hales Owen keeping themselves 3 points ahead of Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield, though, this weekend, Thomas, are travelling to Marine. Marine against Sutton Coldfield, that seems to me a big, 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 big game.
It's huge, isn't it? It is a six-pointer. I think that's, you know, that is as simple as you can put it. Sutton Coldfield Town obviously boosted by last weekend, and also getting Adam Murray in, the former Boston United boss and guys, the assistant, he's going to be playing for them. And, you know, I think that's the thing here. We are at that stage now where every game there is something on the line. You know, even if it is just bragging rights, but this game is the definition of a six-pointer, because for Sutton Coldfield Town, you know, it's, to me, you are at that point where this is must-win. You know, they really do need to be getting the points there. In terms of Marine, obviously, they've got a game in hand on Sutton Coldfield, but we're at that point now where the points are so crucial, and you've got to be picking up the results against the teams around you.
We should say, at time of recording, we're recording this on Thursday, which means obviously there's two matches tonight which we don't know the results of. That's Buxton against Ashton United and Shaw Lane against Grantham Town. Both important matches when it comes to the playoff race. We obviously heard from Andrew Simpson earlier, and confusingly for you, dear listener, that interview with Andrew Simpson happened in the future when I'm talking to Thomas. It happened on Friday, so we already knew the result, if that makes sense. It's very confusing. But the most important thing we have to say here for this fixture preview, recorded on Thursday, is Ashton United are taking on Witton Albion on Saturday. And we have to say, depending on the results on Thursday night, that will dictate how important that game is. It's a sizeable game, regardless of what happens on Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when you look at what it means for Witton Albion, they've hit form at the perfect time. You know, 9 unbeaten for them. And for Ashton United, obviously, kind of all depends on Thursday as well, but, you know, still a lot on the line for them. If they are to get that win, you know, on Thursday, then all of a sudden, you know, they could be looking up the table a little bit. You know, results go their way Saturday, they pick up the win. All of a sudden, you know, it could become a three-horse race very easily, but very much depending on what they can do in the other game. But again, this is the point here, you know, Witton Albion are the team now that, you know, there's always that one team that hits form at the perfect time. And to me, it's Witton Albion. They've just all of a sudden got the results, you know, picked up the form, got the momentum going. And I think, you know, if they can keep this run going into the playoffs, because if they keep this form going, they'll be in the playoffs. They're the team that you'd say, right, we don't want to face them because they are the form side.
And obviously as well, Grantham Town are taking on Barwell this weekend. And depending on that Shaw Lane-Grantham match, Grantham Town could be well and truly under pressure here, or Barwell could be needing a win just to cling on. But regardless, it's still a big game.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think I'm repeating myself with this, but it is another six-pointer, really, because for Grantham Town, if they do pick up the victory on Thursday, they're going into this game, you know, very much with their eyes firmly on the playoff places. You know, they could very easily be in them playoff places. And then all of a sudden, if they beat Barwell, you'd say Barwell, then I've got, with the games played, they've played more games than Grantham, they've played more games than Witton. All of a sudden, you'd say that they're, you know, really are having to cling on to those, the potential of getting in the playoffs. Well, for Grantham, if they lose both these games, all of a sudden, you know, they've got a lot of work to do. So, again, it is, you know, it really is a defining weekend going into, you know, just after you've got Easter just after. And, you know, these weeks are always the crucial weeks to me for the season. It's although them final 2 weekends, you know, there's a lot to be decided. These are the weekends where you really get the groundwork and the foundations in for it.
Certainly do. And we should say, while we've got you on from a Yorkshire perspective now, obviously, disclaimer again, we don't know the result on Thursday, but Shaw Lane have been on a bit of a slippery bit of form of late. They're hosting Nantwich Town this weekend. And Farsley Celtic proving, answering the question, would you rather have games in hand or points on the board? They've had points on the board for ages, and they've been staying in the playoffs. Farsley Celtic hosting Stourbridge this weekend. Two complete opposites of the spectrum here. You've got Farsley Celtic with the games played they've got, and Shaw Lane with 28 games in hand or whatever they've got. Whose shoes would you rather be in, Tom?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously there is this thing of there might be more bad weather coming as well, and for Shaw Lane, you know, it has been a case of you look at who they've got, you go, right, they've got a game tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, it seems like whenever Shaw Lane are playing, there seems to be terrible weather that day. And, you know, to me, I'd rather be in Farsley's position, if I'm honest, because, you know, Shaw Lane, if they have any more postponements, they really are going to be pushing it, you know, in terms of having to fit these matches in. And I think that is a reason why they've just had this little blip. You know, they faced Witton Albion, bang in form, playing week in, week out, and they got caught cold, they lost 4-0. And then Workington, I think that will be the result which, you know, frustrated them a little bit more, because, you know, you'd think Paul Quinn's side would have been able to have got something against the team not in form. But then you look at Farsley Celtic, you know, four wins in a row, Stourbridge, they're the team that they beat, you know, first of all, to start these four wins. And what Farsley Celtic have got is they've got players like Danny Ellis, who, you know, I can't rate Danny Ellis any higher. He is a phenomenal player, and somebody who, when you're in this battle, when you're going for these playoffs, he has got such a good track record as a player, you know, such a winning mentality. And players like that are going to can drag a team over the line to get into them playoffs. And I'm going to say, you know what, I am going to be biased here. I still want both Farsley and Shaw Lane to be making the playoffs, but I do think that Farsley are going to be getting in them playoffs just because they've got the momentum and they've got players with that track record as well.
And there's a couple of other games in mid-table land, Rush Olympic against Matlock Town and Colville Town against Whitby Town. It's remarkable I'm saying Whitby Town are in mid-table. They're 10 points clear of the relegation zone, which I think might be all right. I don't think Sutton Coldfield and Aylesbury are going to claw that back, are they? Whitby getting any result in the meantime. It's a long shot, but yeah, I suppose you never know. But there are some outside bets when it comes to the playoffs. Hensford Town, they'll be travelling to Buxton this weekend. And we've also got Michelover Sports against Workington. Tom, have Workington left it too late?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it was one of them where, obviously, the FA Trophy run, to me, it clearly took something out of the team. You know, they went on this really bad run. But when you look at the players they've got at Workington, you know, could they string a set of results together? The answer is yes. And I think that the thing is for Workington now, the position they're in, I think it is a case of, right, they can do all they can, but they've got to rely on other teams slipping up. And that's probably going to be where their downfall is in terms of getting in the playoffs. But I do think they're going to end the season strongly. And for Hensford, you know, very similar as well. They're only, you know, a point ahead. But the big thing for Workington, they've got 2 games in hand on Hensford. They've got games in hand on 1 or 2 teams above them. And I'm going to sit on the fence here, I always do. But to me, I think Workington will go on the run. But it is all down to what the teams above them do. And can I see that many teams slipping up? It's going to be a long shot, but I do think Workington, now they've got that momentum, they are going to go on a good run. And it's, I think it is the case, they're just going to have to rely on results elsewhere.
Well, Thomas Vina, job well done, my friend. A big thank you for coming on the show. Just before you go, just a quick plug for everything you do. You do loads and loads of stuff. Where's the best place that people can keep abreast of what you're doing, and where are you off to this weekend?
Where am I off to this weekend? I'm off to Halifax. So that'll be... There we go, the big one, the Shay. But yeah, just give me a follow on Twitter. I'll bore you senselessly. That's at Thomasini. And I do apologise for my strong Yorkshire alliance with what I put out there. But, you know, it's God's own county, and it's where the best teams are.
You see that, everyone? I won't even edit that out. I'll let him do it because I'm nice like that. I'm nice like that. Tom Fina, big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend at Halifax, and we'll speak to you soon.
And that, dear listeners, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to all the journalists who've joined us on this week's show. James Hayes, of course, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, John Walsh from BBC Radio Cumbria, and, of course, the wonderful Thomas Fina. We should also say as well a big, big thank you to Paul Carden at Warrington and Adam Stevens at Grantham Town, plus his surgeons, of course, for the excellent work they've done over the past 24 hours or so. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on in the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. And while you're there, don't forget as well to vote for this season's EvoStick NPL Show Player of the Season. But that's it for this week's EvoStick NPL Show. Next week, we'll have the monthly discussion show. We'll also have the monthly EvoStick Division 1 show out as well. But that's it for this week's show. Wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.